This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Well, well, well. Isn't it Sam Smith?
Well, well, well.
There it is.
There we are.
There
here
you
we are. Morena.
Morena.
How's it going?
Yeah, real good. I'm excited about this album.
This is going to wake everyone up.
Yeah, this is really going to wake it up.
It's one of those. So this week we're taking a look at the third studio album from British electronic group The Prodigy. And the album is The Fat of the Land, released in 1997.
I was just talking about how cooked that title is.
I think the saying is based off of saying living off the fat of the land, basically. Yeah, it's an older sort of phrase.
But
it is a bit of a cooked title, and this whole music scene is cooked, basically.
Mad
it's cooked. Music for drug taking.
Yes, it is. So, since it's Monday and we're all wholesome today, I thought maybe it would be a good idea if we just kept it clean but still rocked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can be clean and rock out to this.
Yeah, hard out.
Definitely. So The Prodigy are an English electronic group who formed in 1990 and were one of the leading groups in a genre and music scene called Big Beat, which was massively popular in the 1990s in particular. And at the time of this record, the group consisted of Liam Howlett, Keith Flint, Maxim Reality, and Leroy Thornhill. Now, Big Beat was a term that was given to this style of electronic music that developed, and it featured heavy and distorted drum beats at tempos usually between 120 and 140 beats per minute, lots of synthesizer lines, particularly resembling acid house, and also heavy loops from the 60s and 70s, particularly funk, soul, jazz, and pop records. And the tracks were also often punctuated with punk-style vocals and driven by intense, distorted bass lines, often with conventional pop, house, and techno song structures. So it's a bit of a molding of your typical electronic kind of style with these other influences from funk, soul, acid house, etc., etc. And it originated in the UK and was mainly confined to the UK. And when we talk Big Beat, we're talking acts like the Chemical Brothers, Fatboy Slim, Basement Jacks, Groove Armada, The Prodigy. So you get the picture pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this was a massively popular style all over the world during a time where a lot of these electronic and dance movements were at their height. I mean, you had chill out, you had rave, trip hop, acid house, and Big Beat. And Big Beat definitely took influences from all those other kind of dance and electronic movements and fitted right in during, I guess this was the golden age for electronic and dance music, pretty much.
Yeah, the golden age.
The golden age, the 90s.
In the dungeon.
Yeah. The Prodigy, they've been around for a few years before this record. They'd released two albums already, including their previous record, which was also very successful, Music for a Jilted Generation. So by the time of this album, they were considered a bit of a pioneering act. They even earned themselves the nicknames the Godfathers of Rave. And they were already massively popular, not just in the UK, but also in New Zealand, Australia, Europe, pretty much all over the place. It was with this album that they were able to sort of build that success even further and branch out to more music markets and music scenes, especially with the crossover potential of this record. They were able to bring in a lot of rock fans and alternative rock fans. And that was because on this record they increased the use of the punk vocals, the kind of industrial rock influences, more simplified melodies, sparser sampling, and that definitely attracted a lot of punk and rock audiences, I think. So this is a bit of a crossover record in that regard. So we're going to start by playing the opening track off the album, and this is a very controversial song. It's called Smack My Bitch Up, and as you can tell from the title, that is quite controversial. And
it's quite a violent title.
It is, yep, and it was embroiled in a lot of controversy at the time because of the suggestive title and lyric, and also the music video, which drew criticism for being misogynistic and encouraging violence against women. The video, I don't know if you've seen it, basically depicts a night out in London in the clubs, and there's lots of scenes including drug taking, drinking, sex, and violence.
Yes.
It was actually, this track was actually banned by the BBC.
Yes.
And various versions.
And we're playing it today on the BFM, so.
Yes, a lot of tracks. I don't know if you've seen the list of tracks that have been banned by the BBC, but it's very long.
Yeah.
And some of those tracks, I don't know why the hell they were banned, but that's another story.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just to be a... it was too provocative for young listeners.
Potentially, yes. I'm not sure how many young listeners were listening to the BBC back then, but...
Well, you know, the family time
around
the radio.
Yeah, around the fireplace.
Yeah, around the fireplace with the dog. I don't know.
And also various censored versions have appeared on the radio as well. But interestingly enough, this track was still voted the best dance track of all time by Mixed Mag readers, so it's still held in quite high standards despite the suggestive title.
All right.
Yeah.
Well... Shall I?
Go, yeah.
All right, here it is.
Thank you. Ooh-ey. That could have been the censored version.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, they would have gotten in a lot less trouble if it was like... People would have been like, oh, you just can't use words. That's
yeah,
okay.
That's all right. It's yeah. Still got everything else going on.
Still good melody. Yeah, yeah. I see what's going on here.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's Smack My Bitch Up, the first track from Prodigy's The Fat of the Land, which is turning 20 this year. Mm. So the next track we're going to play is the second single off the album, Breathe. And this went to number one in the UK. It also reached number three in New Zealand. It was a big hit worldwide for the group, one of their biggest actually, making the top 10 in 17 different countries.
Gosh.
And I think with this track you can hear the more aggressive industrial style that the group was going down on this record, especially in the vocals, which I've said before are more punk-like or harsher. And this is definitely what I feel set Prodigy apart from other similar acts of the time, was that kind of punk and rock influences. And you'll definitely hear that on this
just
track.
Deep set male aggression, I think.
Yes.
Very aggressive.
Very aggressive. I'm not saying other big beat acts were not aggressive, because
no.
Chemical Brothers had similar style to this kind of thing, and definitely Fatboy Slim as well. But I think there was just a little harsher nature to the Prodigy.
But I can see why Big Beat could be seen as misogynistic, perceived as that, because it is a very male-conscious movement. It wasn't... it's not like they hated women, it's just that it was very macho.
Very macho, and a lot
male dominated.
A lot of the rave crowds were men.
Yeah.
Young men on E and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah. All kinds of rainbow things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
need to clear the air.
We do need to clear the air.
Oh, sorry, dude. I got the wrong microphone.
We do need to clear the air here.
Yeah, so we've got...
This is very interesting.
Yeah, we had a massive response. We had a caller. We had a couple of people text in. We were talking about the perception of the Prodigy within the media, but also within feminist groups that did actually speak out against this particular band. We weren't saying that the rave scene was misogynistic. We know that it was very accepting.
No, the group denied we're against domestic violence and all this. It was certain groups and certain people and the media that went in on this particular song about it endorsing domestic violence and misogyny, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Hence why it got banned by the BBC.
Yeah, yeah. Because any inkling of that type of behaviour or advocating that type of behaviour sets off a lot of...
Reaction.
Yep. And can hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that was necessarily their...
Purpose,
or message.
Probably far from it.
Yeah. But yeah, we love the Prodigy here.
Yeah. And the rave scene and the big beat scene.
And I had this great conversation with someone who saw them at the Big Day Out.
They've played the Big Day Out several times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very popular down here.
Yes, very popular.
As all these groups and acts from the big beat scene are.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what's our next song?
Right, well, we're going to just go straight into it. The next track we're going to play is Diesel Power. And this is an interesting track because it brings in strong hip-hop influences with American rapper Kool Keith providing vocals on this track. So, yeah. Hi.
Drastically, fantastically.
Sorry. That was a little taste test of what is coming up.
I'd just like to say, loving all this reaction we've got. Plenty of people ringing and texting. It's great that, positive.
Yeah, very positive. So we have, not many people have left their names, but hi, have a look at Musicless Prodigy Breathe video on YouTube. It's pretty funny. And I have actually seen that. And it's just him being like, yeah, because he's like a real, you know, the lead is like quite a makes all these sounds and stuff. And so, yeah, it's like kind of like shredding, you know?
Yeah. And also, we just like to clear up finally this whole smack my bitch up.
Oh, yes.
If you watch the video, at the end of the video, it is actually the girl who is shown to be doing all this stuff.
Yes, yep. Yeah. So we forgot to mention that before. And here we are, an anniversary album celebrating the Prodigy. We've got our last song coming up, but first of all, you've got a couple of things to say about the legacy.
Yeah, so yeah. As we do with anniversary albums, we finish by talking about just how the album was received and the kind of legacy it has. So this was a massive success for the Prodigy. It sold 10 million copies worldwide, went to number one in the United States, the United Kingdom, New Zealand. They were just this album is massive everywhere really, and it really just cemented their place as one of the leading sort of electronic dance groups of the decade. Enemy and Melody Maker both featured it in their best of the year lists, while it is also now considered one of the great electronic albums of all time. Rolling Stone magazine voted it in their list of the essential recordings of the 1990s, and Q magazine voted it the 47th greatest British album of all time. As for the group, this was kind of like the height of their success, and after this album they went on a bit of a hiatus and did not release another album until 2004, but they're still around, they're still touring, and
maybe they should come down here.
Yeah, they come down here quite a lot, very popular down here. In terms of the wider big beat scene, by the end of the decade the overall genre started to decline a bit as a scene, even though most of these acts are still out there making really good music. Other electronic styles began to kind of grow in prominence. I'm thinking particularly dubstep, and they kind of overtook this movement in terms of being kind of popular.
But you could say that before dubstep there was like drum and bass.
Oh well, exactly, yeah. Drum and bass as well. They came in the early 2000s to kind of overtake, so to speak, the big beat scene. And I think a lot of these acts began to alter their sound to kind of fit with the rapidly changing electronic dance scene, because this particular style of music is constantly evolving and moving, and like even the big beat scene itself kind of replaced acid house, which was popular at the end of the 80s and the early 90s, and took elements of that, moved it forward, and then along comes drum and bass and dubstep and these other styles as well.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. But when it was successful during the 90s, it was massive, and it was one of the biggest music styles in the world at the time, no doubt. So we're going to finish with probably their most well-known track, and the track that kind of broke them internationally. It was their first UK number one single. It was number three here in New Zealand and is now considered a bit of a 90s anthem and definitely one of the most popular tracks of theirs. It's also got a very famous music video, which is very popular on MTV, although the video was also controversial, with many deeming it too scary for kids to watch because of the devil-like character and the fact the video was in black and white.
Yes, I was actually scared of it as a kid.
Yes.
But yes. I did like him, which is weird, even though he terrified me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But of course this track is Firestarter. It's a classic, and
here we are.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming in, Sam.
No worries.
And we've got to have the news come up soon, and you're tuned into 95BFM.
happy anniversary to that album. Happy anniversary.